Elsewhere in politics, in Iowa, Democratic presidential candidate Carol Moseley Braun is giving up her campaign, which had not attracted much support. She's endorsing Howard Dean. Meanwhile, political organizers worry about predictions of low turnout in Monday's caucuses. These are confusing, complex events, maybe even intimidating. So the state of Iowa is holding training sessions to demystify the caucus process for Iowans and for NPR's Greg Allen.
Caucuses require much more of voters than primaries do. Voters don't just attend, they have to participate. For a couple of hours, they debate their positions on candidates and platforms, and literally stand up to be counted. Republican and Democratic caucuses start precisely at 6:30 p.m. Central Time next Monday in each one of Iowa's 1,993 precincts. Since Republicans already know who their nominee will be, the action this year is all on the Democratic side. 4 years ago, just about 60,000 Democrats turned out. In order to boost that number, Iowa's Secretary of State, Democrat Chet Culver, is holding a series of workshops across the state.
We've been criticized a little bit nationally for not having more party members participate. We'd like to have more than 10 or 20% turnout for the caucuses. So our goal is to set a record for turnout on the Democratic side. That would mean closer to 125,000.
On this night, he's talking to a group of about 50 voters at the Clive Public Library just west of Des Moines. Culver tells the group the point of the session is to let them know exactly what happens in a caucus.
Kind of breaking it down and terms of the nuts and the bolts so that people feel very comfortable about going to maybe their first caucus on January 19th. And if you've already been to a caucus, this will be a nice refresher course.
Iowa has been holding precinct caucuses since it became a state in 1846. It wasn't until 1972, however, that it gained prominence as the nation's first presidential nominating contest. The caucuses are run not by the state, but by the political parties. At both Republican and Democratic caucuses, a voter, sometimes one preselected by a campaign, must stand up and speak on behalf of his or her candidate. To give the group at the Clive Public Library experience with this aspect of grassroots politicking, Culver convenes a mock Democratic caucus. But instead of speaking in support of a presidential candidate, participants are asked to nominate their choice for best pet.
Hi, I'm the candidate for dogs. Dogs are the people's pet. I am
here
the
to speak on behalf of fish. They don't take up much room, and in a crowded race like this,
I'm here to speak on behalf of birds.
Well, I represent the uncommitted in this race. You've heard the other statements, and I don't think they've gotten to the real issues.
Now it's time to vote. At the library, caucus participants gather in five different preference groups. The caucus chairman, in this case Secretary of State Culver, gets a count.
Your group has to have at least 15% to make it to the next round. 15% or 8. 8 is the magic number. So cats and fish are in a little bit of trouble right now.
Only 4 people are supporting cats, 6 are supporting fish. Too few for their candidates to be considered viable. Now comes realignment. A round of negotiation where participants whose candidates aren't viable must decide which preference group they'll join. At the mock caucus, as at the real thing, the lobbying and cajoling can be intense.
We can have you come into ours.
Yeah.
You could come into ours.
When realignment is over, 2 preference groups have enough supporters to earn delegates. Dogs get 4 delegates, uncommitted, 3. It's noisy and chaotic, and according to Urbandale Democrat Dennis Pedrick, not unlike the real thing. In next week's caucus, he plans to support Wesley Clark, a candidate who's not even campaigning here. Pedrick concedes if Clark doesn't pick up enough votes, he may have to go with a second choice. But he says he won't know who that person may be until caucus night.
Being able to pick a second choice if your candidate isn't viable, you can't really pick that out until you actually walk in the room and everybody splits up and you say, okay, this group's viable and this group isn't. You really don't know until you get there and see how things split out.
And that's the Iowa caucuses, an unruly, raw process where passionate supporters and relationships among neighbors can ultimately matter as much as TV ads and endorsements. Greg Allen, NPR News.